Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome, everybody. It is episode 175 of the Rugby Rant. How y'all doing? I'm the big guy.
It's only fitting, big guy, that we have on 175 that a monumental occasion that we have this guy, the Jackal King, on the show.
Well, thanks for blowing the intro. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, who apparently has never done this show before. And with us today, we have Rick the Jackal King Collins. Rick, how you doing, brother?
Dude, always doing well. I'm excited to be in the middle of the MLR season. We're coming to a close far too quickly here. I'm ready though for a good playoff run.
You could tell he's a little bit amped. You know, Dallas is right there in playoff contention in the hunt, which is what I've been saying
third, all along. Third, not even against Pittsburgh. Third.
Well, listen, we still have a couple more matches. Yeah.
But I understand Rick's excitement, right? I mean, 2 years of over seasons, and now they're really putting on a performance and playing well. And I got to tell you, Rick, I've watched Dallas a little bit more closely over the last couple of weeks. And Geronimo Varga is an absolute animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a huge concern of losing Rura, but I was thinking, man, I think Vara is the better player of the two. And he's a monster.
He's had some stormers, man. He's had some absolute stormers. I mean, like I watched him 2 weeks ago in the game. And I thought to myself, that might be one of the best back row performances I've seen in the MLR in a single game, six seasons since I've been watching.
Yeah. And probably he'll be off to Italy like Rura was season, unfortunately.
Definitely. Listen, it's good though. It'll spark, this is what the MLR is about right now, is sparking off, a jump off point for some guys to get back in some upper leagues. We've seen guys leave. We see guys come back. So, I'm sure you love the hammer kissing your butt right now, being in that third place spot. But before we get to our Around the Pitch segment, just a quick show update. We want to give a shout out to our buddy Ty Braga. Unfortunately, Ty has decided to leave the show. We still love him. He's still one of our best friends. But, everything, nothing bad's going on. He's just, having a lack of time and a lack of being able to come and join us for the shows. So, there's always an open invitation to him to come back into the fold whenever he'd like. We just wish him well and, say hi to Ty when you can. And me and the Hammer are still going to be here. So, you get to see our ugly mugs and we're going to bring guys back like Rick all the time. And
I was going to say, you're just going to have more guys like me.
Exactly. I mean, we have our stable of bitches that we bring back.
Stable of bitches. But one of my favorite things about Rick is he always comes on with a beverage, an adult beverage. And it's not just it's not just a beer. He's got some kind of spirit.
I didn't get it out tonight. I got to take care of my kids, so I can't hammer too much on the.
He's going alcohol light. He's got
speaking
responsibility. Plus the fact I'm getting married on Friday, again, so I got to start.
Congratulations!
Yeah. Start detoxing now to have a really good weekend. That's the old guy thing. There's a picture. There's a picture online with Rick and his daughter. He's kneeling at the stadium, and he has his little knee pad because it's concrete, and I. I sent a message. I'm like, that old man knee pad is coming in my clutch.
I mean, can't you tell from this gray hair? Great brother day.
Our second show update is now we have a new website for Rugby Rant merch. You can go to zazzle.com/store/ the Rugby Rant.
I need to get some gear.
Yeah, we have pint glasses, shot glasses, mugs, glass. Shirts. Yeah, exactly. Shirts, hats, iPhone cases. We have a whole bunch of stuff there. A keychain. So we're updating that every week. So check out new stuff there and help us help you by buying some merch and getting the word out. Represent.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Let's get the show started and let's get it going. All right, Rick, kick us off.
All right, so two things going on right now. I know we're kind of in the middle of rugby season. One, I'm just going to personally complain, but it's been going around the socials for a while, and that is TRN. I think we've made a big step back, and this is really something that should go on the rant. But I think pitch side, everybody's aware that there's been some glitches in the system, as it were, with the Rugby Network and the new service provider, Globant. It's something that I think MLR needs to get cleared up because, as I've mentioned, I think there are more eyes on MLR than ever before. Maybe not as many butts in seats, but certainly more eyes via TRN and the free service you get to watch MLR matches. And if you want to pay a few bucks, you can watch Premier League, you can watch Women's Premier League, some great rugby over in the UK. So just to put it out there, hey, we got to get these things fixed, especially for a professional show. Secondly, wanted to talk about kind of the improvement in quality of rugby, I think, in MLR over the season. And despite the injuries that we've seen and everybody's aware of, I think the quality of MLR has gone up significantly. There's people talking about it across the globe. I think more eyes on it is helping as well, but talk about bringing guys over, guys then leaving and making the jump to a higher level of rugby. There's definitely that connection overseas. People are aware of it. They want to come over. They want to play. And I think the local lads are getting better and better, obviously, with the addition of Anthem. These kids are only going to get better, and USA Rugby is only going to benefit from it.
Absolutely. And I think really you're referencing that that article and that interview with Ma'anu, and his suggestion of having a senior USA Rugby MLR club, which I think is a topic for another time to really debate. Yeah, exactly. I think we're thinking the same thing.
We can rant on that pretty hard, I think.
But that, that's what you're referencing. And like I put out there in one of our group chats, he talks about, you have a lot of guys coming over and maybe taking spots from USA eligible players. And funny enough, so is Ma'anu. And that's not a knock on Ma, but that's just the nature of what the league is, yeah. And this is how we're building the league, and eventually it'll transition to
It's still built for money. I mean, it's going to help USA, but it's built to make money. Let's be realistic.
Absolutely. Rob, what are your two around the pitches?
Am I around the pitches, bitches? I'm gonna hit
trade it now, so I have to do different things when I upload it to YouTube.
Not for kids.
Yeah.
You threw the opening salvo when you talked.
I left, and we threw the G rating out the window.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I want to talk about club rugby. 15s champions were crowned this last weekend in Round Rock, which is in Austin. Some great games were happening. I'm going to start with D3 men's, the Austin Blacks, 86, Calusa, 0. I'm pretty sure Rick has a few things to say about that, but we'll leave it for him. D2 men's, Miami Tridents, 38, Ocean Side Chiefs, 10. So congratulations to the Tridents. Women's, Tampa Bay Crew, 59, Whitehorse, 14. I'm not sure how I feel about, the Crew coming out of Tampa Bay. I only thought the Crew was reserved for my Crew down there in New Orleans. But that's, again, a conversation for another day, right, Dan Falcon? And then finally, D1, Nova Women's Rugby 44, Lady Vipers 12. And Nova had the men's club also, or the men's side also had their boys in the semifinal. So they, as a club, had a really nice season. But the men's final, congratulations, a special shout out, group near and dear to my heart. St. Louis Bombers 25 over Belmont Shore 24. It was a great match, nip and tuck the whole way. And a big shout out to a lot of those guys that I know, because I've known many of them for years. Macy's Misfits is what they're being tagged as. So congratulations to all champs. What a great season. And we're looking forward to sevens.
Yep. You want to hit your second one while you're up there?
My second one? Well, sure. So my second one, I'm going to kind of hit the international stage in two different ways. So I'm going to go with a right, then a left. First of all, two huge wins by North American international women's teams this last weekend in the Pacific Four. USA beat Australia 32-25 in Melbourne, which was awesome. You know, that they came from down, I think, by 12 at half, came storming back to win that one. And then Canada, awesome job. I know we had a bunch of friends, Gaz up there and Doug Wilkie up there in the north, that were just eyes were watering, all kinds of tears were being spilt because Canada defeated New Zealand for the first time ever, 22-19. It's a first win over the Black Ferns, and it was in Christchurch, and they were down at half. I think it was 10-14. So just a great fight by the Canadian women. They really deserved it, and moved up in the world rankings as a result of their excellent show.
One would hope. Yeah. Listen, that's an awesome win.
Yeah. Awesome win. Great match. And shout out to our boy, the ball peen hammer, Preston Hammerschmidt, scoring that first one for the Bombers. Proud dad forgot to mention that. So I'll shout it out as the proud co-dad. Shout out to the ball peen hammer, Preston Hammerschmidt.
Right. So obviously,
obviously I'm next. And you know me, I love to come up with something unique when it comes to the around the pitch. So our first shout out is to Sammy Sullivan of the Women's Sevens USA team. She was promoted to captain of the United States Army while surrounded by her teammates and also fellow USA Sevens players. Sergeant Joanne Favesi and Captain Jake Lachina were there. Sammy Sullivan is a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point, and one of our Sevens players. Congratulations, being promoted. You know, being an officer in the Army is fucking cool. It's great to see you're promoting your career while also advancing your athletic career. The second thing I want to talk about was a Rugby America's North match between Jamaica and Bermuda. Jamaica came out the winners. The Crocs won 19-14, coming off two really early tries to kind of go up 14-0. You had Bermuda come back, and then finally the Crocs were able to finish him out at the end with about 7 minutes left. It was a great match. It was one of those things where you don't see it too often, these little, you know, Caribbean teams playing like you see, you know, obviously Canada and the United States play. But I like watching these teams play. It's a little bit chaotic. You know, the gameplay is great. It's more of, I don't want to say pure style of rugby, but it's a little less tactical, a little more free flowing. And, you know, you had a great match that, you know, if you can get to try and watch it, I believe there's a replay on YouTube. And this was, you know, in April, the last RAN match was Guyana beating Trinidad Tobago, you know, 24-23 in a really close match. So you're having really good matches here. For the Rugby America's North tournaments, I think need to get a little more play. You know, you talked about TRN, Rick. Maybe, you know, TRN should start, you know, try and get some of these matches going.
All the RAN matches, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's just promoting the North American rugby. And, you know, as for those that don't know, you know, Globant took over the TRN production side of it this season. Just the TRN side. I don't know if they took over production of all of Rugby Pass.
No, but you're right. But Rugby Pass did the TRN.
Correct.
But,
yeah. Yes, correct. They created TRN and were running it. Globant, which is an Argentine-based company, or we're an Argentinian-based company, and I forgot where they are now. We talked about it on the rant when that switch was made prior to the season. And there have been significant issues, as Rick said, so hopefully we can get those sorted out, because it is a bad look to
And on that note, I think Rick raises a good point, and let's take it up just for a moment, a notch, right? They get the Gallagher Premiership, which is a pay-per-view piece, which is an awesome step. I think the overall vision for TRN is to kind of slowly build and put all rugby content that's available online onto that platform. So you might pay $10 a month, but you're getting Premiership, you're getting Super League, you're getting MLR, you're getting some internationals, you're getting all this content. And it's a one-stop shop, and people will be willing to pay for that if they're getting all this fabulous content. But darn it, you have to do the content you have well in order to really make a play for those bigger fish. You know, Super League isn't going to do it if, you know, or for that matter,
if you're going to miss half of the Premiership season on more than half of the devices that people are using.
Right. I mean, and we're talking, you know, in my opinion, it's two different things, because the early struggles with TRN for the MLR matches were finding local productions to produce the show. Right. So you have guys, and I luckily enough sat next to a cameraman position in my season ticket. So, you know, I spoke to this gentleman. It was the same guy for the four seasons I was a season ticket holder. You know, he was a cameraman for hockey, for basketball, for football, for baseball, never watched rugby in his life. And then they throw you in there and you got to try and figure out what you're supposed to be tracking. You know, are you anticipating a kick here? Things like that, where you don't understand the game
actually happening on the field.
And a lot of the time during breaks, he would ask us questions, you know, because he was trying to educate himself to be a better cameraman. And that goes all the way to the production side of TRN. I felt like after year one, it got significantly better in year two and significantly better in year three. Now I think while the production locally we've nailed, whatever we're doing in the system side of it seems to be failing, because you're getting blackouts and different devices.
Yeah.
An issue.
The stream freezing right before the San Diego player is about to kick the final kick.
like somebody stepped on the plug somewhere.
Like, are we in a commercial? Are we living in a commercial? What has happened?
So that's around the pitch for episode 175. And we're going to hit our rant soon. And we're talking about the three law changes that are coming into effect July 1st of 2024. On May 9th of 2024, the World Rugby Council agreed to law changes in three areas covering onside kick in front of the kicker, eliminating the infamous crocodile row, and removing the scrum options when a free kick is awarded. But before we talk about that, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you in hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
So like I said, we're going to be going through the three different law changes that World Rugby is going through, and we're going to kind of go one by one. So let me go over the first one and give you some background, and then we'll jump in on the discussion for it.
Scott, let's just talk the top. It's for interrupting, but
let's just interrupt the whole show and have Rob do something. And where's the referee to throw him the cheese for talking back? But continue.
So let's understand, so that people can get a better wrap their minds around this better. The kind of general consensus about all these changes is that World Rugby says that they believe that they're designed to attract new audiences and grow the game and speed up gameplay, right? They want more ball in play. So at the MLR level, you know, early season, we were getting maybe 28 to 30 minutes ball and play time. Now that we're in the latter mid part of the season, we're getting 36 minutes ball and play. Internationally, the level's at about 42. So they're trying to increase that ball and play time to make it a more attractive game.
Yes. And one of the things they're doing is seems to me phasing out props, because this law change is going to be a pain in the butt. So what the law change essentially does, as far as offside in front of a kicker, you now have to attempt to put yourself onsides within 5 meters of the kicker. So previously, right, Hammer kicks the ball and I'm stuck in the middle and I kind of just loiter, what they call, World Rugby calls, loitering in the middle until Hammer passes me and I'm considered onsides. And I really made no effort to try and go onsides as I waited for onsides to come back to me. Now, I didn't play the ball. I didn't play the man. If the man ran past me, I got to get back onsides. I'd start, get on my giddy up and get back onsides to get to a breakdown or make the tackle. But, so essentially what they're saying is a player is offside in open play if that player is in front of a teammate who is carrying the ball or who last played it, right, off the foot, they last played it. An offside player must not interfere with play. This includes A, playing the ball, B, tackling the ball carrier, C, preventing the opposition from playing as they wish, which is essentially obstruction. Now, this one is new, D, loitering in an offside position. And then the actual penalty, 10.4, an offside player may be penalized if that player does not make an effort to retreat and interferes with play or moves towards the ball, essentially. Moving towards the ball, meaning you continue to go towards the ball as it's kicked over your head and you haven't stopped your momentum. So, guys, essentially, you can't just kind of call yourself offsides and let the offsides line come to you. It's one of those things that before you guys talk about it, I think one of the most unique things you see on a pitch, and a lot of people can't comprehend it, is when there is a player that's offside that's obviously going to some way where he just puts his hands up and he calls himself offsides. The opposing team goes around him. Most opposing teams aren't going to try and go through him to create an obstruction call. The guys know he's offsides. He knows he's in the way. He's just standing there. You can come around me, make your play. And the play moves on and the referee doesn't need to penalize, right? Don't often see that on the kick chase portion of it, but it can happen. But it's just an interesting thing that we see in rugby. But Rick, what do you think about this law change?
So, obviously this is going to hurt big guys more than small guys, because typically smaller guys, maybe a bit better on the fitness side, they're able to, get back quicker and then turn around to come back and make a play. If you're in a position where there's been multiple kicks, right, and you've been trying to run back one way and now the kick is going the other way and then the kick's coming back, like, that's a lot of effort now to get back onside rather than just, okay, I know it's kick tennis and I'm just going to stand here and wait till one of the teams decides to attack, which I don't see as problematic. I'm not sure there was a problem to begin with for this rule. I guess you're trying to limit the laziness of players on the field, but I never saw this as problematic. So I didn't really see this as solving an actual problem on the field versus like the crocodile roll, which we'll talk about here in a minute.
Yeah. I mean, you think Ellis Genge is going to want to have to try to, go back and forth.
There's some other players I'd be more concerned about,
but I'm saying he's a more athletic prop
because of this rule.
Well, I mean, but Ellis Genge is more of an athletic prop and I still feel like this is kind of penalizing him.
Yeah.
But before we talk about what Rick said and go to Rob, I forgot to tell you. So the new definition of what a loiterer or loitering is: a player who remains in an offside position is loitering. A loiterer who prevents the opposing team from playing the ball as they wish is liable to be sanctioned, and the loiterer must not benefit from being put onside by the opposing team's actions. So again, even if the opposing team puts you onside, so for example, they make a pass.
Yeah, they receive the ball, make a pass.
They play the ball past you and you just kind of come around into an onside position, right? Because there's a breakdown. So now the position you can come back around is onside versus where the kick happened, right? That's another way to get onside. If you were loitering. So I just wanted to bring up that definition, before Rob gets his say. Rob.
I want to add one piece. One of the things that they've identified is under the current law, as it stands, that those players, and we're focusing energies on a lot of forwards, particularly props, could be put onside by two actions. One of them is the player receiving the ball runs 5 meters. So, you know, a real deep kick, you know, into the 22, they opt not to take, you know, a mark. They start to run it. As soon as they run 5 meters, those guys in the middle who have not retreated could just go ahead and run forward and make a tackle. Or if they put on a pass, they pass to it. So we often see this when the ball is put, you know, inside that 15-meter channel, right? The guy doesn't, the player doesn't maybe have a left foot or as good a left foot. They know it. So they to get a better angle at putting that ball into touch, they pass that ball to the middle of the field to another player who then has a better angle at kicking for touch. You know, and so that player and player that is supposed to be retreating, or you under the new law will be retreating, you know, doesn't have to essentially retreat in either of those two situations on the law as it stands. I think the idea here, I like it. I think it's a great law, and yes, it's going to be detrimental to some props, but let's not forget that one of the reasons this was created, it's the anti-Rassi rule, right? Rassi realized, you know, especially in the World Cup, if you go back, hey, we can put out, you know, yeah, we can play a 6-2 split or a 7-1 split for more forwards out there as the game wears on. And we don't have to worry about them getting as tired because we can just put them in the middle of the field, kick the ball deep, let them kick it back to us, kick the ball deep again. Our forwards don't have to run back and forth. And then when the ball goes into touch, whether it's, you know, goes into touch, we get a line out midfield, or we kick it into touch deep or get a 50-22 or whatever have you, you know, our forwards can kind of amble up to that new, you know, that line out and restart play and not having used a lot of energy. You know, remember what we love about rugby. I mean, we love it because it's not American football, and you don't get to reset. You don't get to get your win. You got to be fit in order to play. And I like the idea of fitter, you know, of fitter players being emphasized. So I like it. You know, I think it's a good change. And if I'm not mistaken, Rick, and I'm going in the way back machine, as I understood it, when I was first playing, this was the rule. You had to retreat. You couldn't just wait for a pass or for that runner to run 5 meters.
I think on the books it was. Yeah. I'm not sure in actuality it was ever applied.
Yeah, so what you're talking about.
Well, it was applied in my first game. That much I know.
Again, so you talk about if you're looking at I feel like World Rugby on their passport page under their law changes, really what they did a great job of how they what the changes are by putting them in a different color and then just striking out things that no longer will exist, right? So you talk about what actions by an opposing player puts you on sides. So prior it was carries the ball 5 meters or passes the ball. Those two are now crossed out and it becomes opposing player kicks the ball or intentionally touches the ball without gaining possession of it, right? So,
no, it's great to not have to. I think the last couple of times they made changes, we had to like go hunt through the rule back to figure out what the hell the rule actually was and what the change they actually made was, and it still wasn't clear. I do appreciate the clarity within the release.
No, absolutely. Like it really, if you're looking at it and you can go to we'll put the website link on the show here. It really does make sense from a guy who does policy and procedure all day. But let me go to my opinion. I don't think it's going to be that big of a offensive juggernaut to help guys score more points or make the game more exciting. As opposed to like some of the other rules we're going to talk about it's a big safety concern. In my opinion, you know, you're just kind of making fat guys run a little more, which, again, are they get more tired? Are they going to make more mistakes in the 50th minute or the 60th minute? And then maybe that springs a try later on. But I don't know if it's necessarily going to be like a law you see enacted. And then you could say, because of that law, this play happened, right? I don't think you're going to be able to see that. I think it's going to be more of, certain international teams are going to have this kicking battle and their props better be ready for it because in the 60th minute, you're going to be way more tired than when you were last year. To, you know, even if you're the fittest of the fit, right? depending on what you're looking
for. Yeah, do we want to encourage this kicking? I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
I'm gonna say I disagree. Like, we haven't had a really good disagreement in a while, and this is where I disagree. If you think about it, so you're gonna force players to retreat, right? When they retreat, they're gonna retreat at different levels or at different states,
different,
you know,
speeds,
at different speeds. What does that create in your defensive line?
Holes.
Here's what I would say, though.
And for me, I think it's gonna make defenses be more organized in their retreat, and it's gonna create some of those gaps when there's lazy running. That's gonna allow for some more attacking rugby, which is what we want.
I would argue, I don't think there's going to be that big of a difference, because when you are in that, prior to the rule being changed, when you are in that offside position and calling yourself offside, the rule was you couldn't go towards the kicking opposing team that got the kick, right? You couldn't run the same way as the kick was going if you were in an offside position. So essentially you're just flat footed staying there until the kicker or another onsides player brought you onsides anyway. So at that point, the defense really still has a hole, because that defender that was in the offside position is still flat footed.
No, but you could organize yourselves in the middle of the field as a defensive line. If that ball goes deep on, you know, right to the 22, and that kicker then runs 5 meters, now you're onside and you guys could advance as an entire line.
Yeah, so but that I never just, happens, Rob. Now you're just talking about things that never happen.
What do you mean?
If they were that organized, you wouldn't the amount of counter kick balls we see that turn into points or turn into long runs the other way past the gain line. You know, I don't think guys are that organized to get that done.
Well,
and I don't think we've seen,
maybe not D3 rugby, but
even in international rugby, I can't, Rob. I'm not joking. I'm not saying. I don't remember that ever being a thing, like watching and that happening at a consistent level for them to say we should make this change.
Yeah. I mean, they were, so why, I guess my question is, I fundamentally have a hard time believing that, you know, again, looking to the Springboks, they specifically made use of the strategy. They were looking at ways that they could take advantage. Think about when they opted to go, you know, when they took the, I mean, they had such a dominant scrum and they had such dominant forwards. They even took advantage of the mark law to take a scrum, to draw scrum penalties so that they could put the ball into touch further downfield and alleviate pressure.
Okay. I mean, but that's like, my point is that this is what they're looking to do to try and eliminate what advantage that South Africa had. I mean, that's like, let's take the example in hockey, you have a guy who's really fast going against a guy who's really slow. Why not? You put the guy on the same wing, you know, on the wide, because the guy who's really fast is going to buzz right by him and maybe you'll get a hook or a holding penalty against him. Right. They're not going to say, oh, well, you know, in hockey, they're not going to say, well, you can't put guys who skate really fast against guys who skate really slow. You know, I do think there is some,
I don't know,
conspiracy theory around here, behind this. And usually I'm not one to root for the Springboks or two say there's a ton of conspiracy theories, but I do feel like this is one of those things that is aimed at targeting teams who do have a great pack and a great front row, you know, and it's not their fault that's what they're great at. You know what I mean?
Oh, we agree. I think it's specifically targeted at the strategy,
I
think the Springboks were organized enough to be able to create a nice organized defensive line.
I don't think
the current law.
I think the Springboks used the free kick mark more, and that's what we'll talk about in the third law change when we come to it. But I think the consensus is, you know, some people are for it. I'm not necessarily against it. I just don't think you're going to get the return on investment as World Rugby thinks, if their rationale is, oh, that we're going to see more points scoring on counter kicking, or, you know, or kick chasing rather. But I think we could argue, me and Rob can argue about anything all day, which is fun.
And usually but
I don't think we're going to argue about this second law change. So the crocodile roll. The infamous crocodile roll, and they even put the rationale, player safety. While low in number, these actions continue to cause long-term injuries in many players. The shape of the game meeting showed clear support for removing this specific action in law. let me say, former Cal Bear Robert Paler was, you know, is a quadriplegic for the same sort of move. You know, you have a lot of guys getting injured in the pro game, whether they're tearing knees or having shoulder problems from this gator roll. So, law 9.20D, they're replacing, which is, this is what the law used to be. A player may level or lever the jackler out of the contest at a ruck, but must not drop his weight onto them or target the lower limbs. That has been replaced with, a player may remove the jackler from the tackle area by pushing slash driving them backwards, including grabbing the knee and the leg, but must not roll, pull, or twist the opponent. The sanction is a penalty. New law, 9.20E. A player must not drop their weight onto an opponent or target the lower limbs. Sanction, penalty. New clause in law 14.A, which is the tackle law. Other players must, E, not roll, pull, or twist the opponent who is involved in the tackle to the ground. The new definition for crocodile roll. A prohibited action where a player laterally rolls, twists, or pulls a player who is on their feet in the tackle area to ground. The action often lands on the player's lower limbs. Again, straightforward with the changes. Very easy to follow, Rick. What do you think about the gator roll here?
So I would have said probably 10 years ago that I was against removing this.
Rugby's going soft.
As a player and as a coach, I have gone soft. And, you know, especially coaching younger people, trying to teach them proper technique and thinking about, you know, long term, what's best for them. I think it's just as dangerous for the person getting doing the rolling as it is for the person being rolled. And I don't see it a whole lot in the professional game anymore anyway. But I think it's something that probably needed to just be put in the books and be gotten rid of to, you know, end any chance that we're ever going to see a crocodile roll, you know, injure somebody in the future. So I'm glad it's gone. I'm kind of surprised that it was still not on. It wasn't on the books yet.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think, you know, the spirit of how to get a jackler or somebody out of the ruck, right, was never the intent was that the way you could play that is you don't engage and then they run forward and usually end up on their elbows and knees and all of a sudden, you know, they're not in a good position and they'll get penalized for being off their feet. Or you pull them forward, you know, and use their momentum. But it was never really to make that turn. Now they say lower limbs. So my question would be, says by grabbing the near leg, but must not roll, pull, or twist an opponent. So I think there needs to be clarification on what they mean by that. Because if let's say Rick is coming in and he's not over the ball in a breakdown and I come in, can I grab his hip? Is that lower limb?
What about can you, because what's not clear to me in this, and maybe you have some clarification based upon what you're reading, but what about, you know, you see this a lot, guys over the ball and the next guy comes in and he pulls that player forward to try to
get that's him. That's still legal.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it literally says by pushing or driving them back. Oh, wait, hold on.
Or pulling.
Yeah.
It says pushing or driving, but it just says must not roll, pull, or twist an opponent.
Right.
And so I guess it's taking off that pull forward, which, right, you know, not necessarily. I don't think the pull forward ever really got anybody injured.
No,
in my opinion.
No,
but that was the cheeky way to do it.
Yeah, I have seen a few guys go in. They attack that leg, and then they've come over the neck and driven a guy off. I've seen
that. Yeah, that's the most dangerous thing is when you see the arm getting around the neck, and that I thought was always illegal and should be a yellow card. That's like tackling.
Yeah, that's forcible. What is it? Forcible head contact.
Right? Yeah. So my version of the gator roll that I learned was you're going under the armpits.
Yes.
Over the top of them, and then
almost like suplexing
them, turning them over. Yeah. And that,
you know, that's something Rob teaches.
Not only for you and the player you're rolling, but for the guy, the tackle player on the ground, the tackler who may or may not be on the ground, and anybody else who's near the rock. Mm-hmm. And so it's just it's just dangerous play anyway.
So Rob, real quick, you know, what do you yes, no, maybe so. Are you still hardcore like Rick was going to be, or like?
No, I'm good with this. I think player safety is of particular importance, and it's even more important that we teach it well at the lower levels, because a lot of kids get over exuberant and don't control themselves. And it's important to teach this, at the lowest levels, so that, from age grades on up, so that, proper, ruck cleaning is taught, because it's, especially at the younger age grades and younger ages where rucking is introduced, you don't want those kids getting hurt. Their necks and neck strength is not nearly as developed as is adults. So I think it's of particular importance to get it right early on and teach and instruct and officiate best practices for player safety and welfare in this one.
Yeah,
absolutely. I agree. It's something that should have been codified probably
10 years ago, at least
10 years ago. But again, I do think that my version of what I call a gator roll is different and is close to what Rick was talking about, and is different from the pulling forward of a player in a breakdown, I wonder if they have statistics on the difference between doing the two motions and injuries. That would be my question.
And I would add that one of the other things that I think I like about this is what does it place the emphasis on now? It places the emphasis on proper jackling, good jackling technique right off the bat, getting to the breakdown, getting over the ball, demonstrating you can put the weight, maintain your weight on your feet, and you can attack that ball. And, when we see really good jackling teams, it's an exciting brand of rugby, right? Because defensively you're in your red zone, they're attacking. And it drives me nuts that there's no contest there, right? Because because guys are too easily cleared out when they're really in good,
position. And I wonder, should they be calling the jackal penalty earlier? Should they say, look, you've got, a second to pull the ball out once your hands are on it. If your hands are on it and the other team isn't able to clear out immediately, then it's yours. It's a penalty. But if they clear you out, then it's theirs. You need to get your hands out of the ruck, because often I'll see them guys over the ball very clearly, and he's there for seconds, 3, 4, 5, and the offensive team cannot push him off of it. And then you'll see a neck roll or something, right? You see dangerous play because they're trying to get him off the ball. And that's where a lot of the danger happens at the ruck. Mm-hmm. And so making it quicker decision for the referee to call.
Rick, you've been an official. Isn't that more of an interpretive component to officiating?
Yes.
Right?
And I think
like part of each official is going to interpret that time different.
And you absolutely will see some referees will call it very quickly, even maybe more quickly than the jackler would like, because the jackler wants to be able to pull the ball away and play it. I think there's too much of a push for the jackler to stay over the top of the ball to get the penalty, rather than pulling the ball out and playing it. I actually think a rule they could institute is it's a short arm penalty for a jackal, rather than a full arm, because then you would say to the jackler, you're better off pulling the ball out and playing it while you're in advantage, and that slows down the game on the jackal. Yeah. So that would speed the game up.
Interesting.
There you go. Boom. Solve rugby.
I like it.
I think again, I would. The only thing I would question the statistics on if they made a difference. If they have a different statistic on pulling forward.
Yeah, I'm really interested about that. That is a curious one. I think we'll see a lot of penalties because of people pulling, because that's still a big deal.
And it's what you've been taught. The other thing is on the other side, you have to make sure you crack down on the counter rucks coming in and flying in like a fucking missile.
Yeah.
Because that's prominent right now. And
how often does that result in a positive outcome for the defense?
Never.
Very, very rarely. It usually only helps when the scrum half is trying to box kick.
Yes.
And he slightly disrupts the ruck.
But there's a difference, because if you watch the MLR, you'll see a lot of guys be at the end of the breakdown, and then when the nine comes in to do their box kick, then they enter it. Yeah. But they're not coming from 10 meters away.
Right.
You know, so there's no real danger to the pile because they're just right behind the pile, making the move to kind of throw them off, which, again, in my opinion, cheeky play, you know, not necessarily something we need to take out of the game. But I mean, especially in club rugby, when I was playing, we had guys who were flying in and off their feet and nothing was being called. People were getting murdered out there in the breakdown, you know, and I think we just have to make sure that we're in these changes for the player health and safety on this gator roll and not pulling forward or whatever. You have to make sure the defender's coming in
and speed up the rucks. Scrum half's not there to play it. Somebody's got to play it out.
Yep. Right. So, all right. So the next one we're going over, I guess we can call this the Rassi 2.0 rule. Scrum option removal at a free kick. The rationale: beating up restarts after technical offenses. Currently, many scrums result in long periods of dead time with resets, leading to more free kicks, penalties, and then kicks to touch. Shape of game recommendation was to remove the scrum from a free kick option. Remains an option for penalty offenses. So the law change goes to this. Law 20, which is options at a penalty or free kick. 20.3, a team award a penalty may choose a scrum. 20.41, a team award a penalty at a lineout may instead choose a lineout or a scrum at the same mark. 20.42, a team award a free kick at a lineout may instead choose a lineout at the same mark. So scrum options, the law is
not a scrum. It's a free kick or a lineout.
Yep. When they're awarded a free kick at the lineout, the other two are penalties. So you could still do the scrum, but no free kick. You know, they've taken out a penalty or free kick and then given you the options. Scrum option, was it law 19.1 row 4 would also be amended to scrum option from a penalty. They're taking out the word free kick and then marking. 17.6, if the player is injured in the act of claiming a mark and is unable to take the free kick within 1 minute, they're scratching out. A scrum is awarded to the team in possession. It just goes to a teammate may take the free kick. So, more hating on the fatties. Rick, there you go.
I mean, they're certainly trying to... They think they're trying to speed up the game, or they think they are speeding up the game. I don't see this really affecting very many matches at all. How many free kicks do we see, or short arm penalties, I guess, in a match where you could take the opportunity to take a scrum? I just don't see it affecting it enough. It's like, let's go after the thing that's, you know, 2 to 5% of the match. Honestly, we're slowly taking the scrum out of the game. We're slowly taking rucks out of the game. At some point, do we just become league?
Exactly. No.
Like, this is what drives me insane is we're trying to make the game faster, but we're removing things, or not purposefully, but we are sort of removing things that make the game special. And make it the kind of game that, you know, is anybody's game. So I don't love it. I don't hate it, only because I don't think it affects very many matches. But it's just another one of those, let's take out something that's cool about the game and try and speed it up. And I'm not sure it's actually speeding the game up.
Yeah.
The men's match is still much slower than the women's match, and it's not because of that. It's because of kicking constantly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what slows men's matches up, and the resetting of lineouts, resetting
again, scrum, again,
that is what's taking so much time.
If you just listen to me, the fifth official is just an old forward on a segue, and all he does is sit on the other end of the scrum. So that way you have two officials on the field looking at both sides of the scrum, because what happens? They set up the scrum and the officials on the left
side. Guy goes to one side,
yeah,
collapses on the other side, goes to the other side.
So, and the only job of this fifth official is to come out on a segue so he doesn't have to run. He can be zoomed off very quickly. He can follow the play on the sideline on the segue. Has to be a certified.
That sounds like XFL stuff.
Yeah, certified front row. And all he does is stand on the other side, and then the call is made. Either the middle official on the side that the ball is going in, or the fifth official on the side that the ball is not going in, and then they leave the field of play. And guess what? My point is the only restarts that'll actually happen are legit restarts where footing is bad because the weather has fucked up the field, versus somebody pulling down on the blind side and then they switch and then they're pulling down on the other side.
Or angling in or whatever else.
And it's a great opportunity for sponsorship too.
But exactly.
I mean, Honda, the old fat prop, official, sponsored by Honda.
I like how he called him the old fat prop official, and I said the fifth official. He's talking about weight.
You said old prop
official. I see. Yeah, you said old fat prop official.
Well, I mean, that's an assumption everybody would make.
Everybody becomes a prop eventually. But Rob, what do you think about this change?
I'm not a huge fan. I agree with Rick. I think it takes some of the character that made rugby union what it is out of the game. And I'm also a little dubious on unintended consequences. I think it's fun to see teams that are built different, right? You have attacking teams that have, more quicker, smaller forwards that are more mobile, right? Or teams that have a strong back line. And sometimes you have teams that are stronger up front and have dominant forwards. We're taking away one of the benefits to making a team unique and building a team with a little bit of character that might, have different tactics, right? We don't want this to be a robotic game. We want flair. We want unique tactics. We want, guys that are built different, guys that look different, guys that attack different, teams that attack different. And I just think that the danger is taking some of that piece out. We're going to take the short arm penalty and we're going to get a scrum. We're going to scrum down twice and we're going to shove them over and we're going to earn ourselves a penalty and put them under heaps of pressure by getting that ball downfield. That's the way we're going to play rugby. We're going to control the tempo of the game. We're going to use the boot and we're going to make them play out of their end. That's just a style of play.
I'm not even going to go full screen on this one for me because I agree with both you guys and I think you guys made great points, believe it or not. But before we get to the end of the show, we have to announce our Super Brew winner. Amateur.
Yeah, so we're gonna award our Super Brew winner for the week. It's a great contest so far. I gotta say, the week 12 winner is none other than Teresa Zaman. She's a Free Jacks supporter. I just like her name on Super Brew, Buttercup. I mean, is there a better name for
Butternut?
For a rugby female than Buttercup? I don't think so. But anyway, big kudos to Buttercup for winning. $25 coupon to Shop MLR, courtesy of Rugby Now. They are our great partners in this Super Brew contest. And by the way, just a shout out to all those that are wondering, with a new jersey sponsor in Kappa, you're going to see gear trickling in to Shop MLR almost on a weekly basis, right? So you got to check back to see what's new. I'm trying to update on the MLR fan zone and let people know when new stuff is out, but you got to keep checking back. It'll be coming out. I'm hearing there's going to be some good jerseys coming out very shortly, but we'll see what happens. Nevertheless, check back with them. We love what they do. We thank them for the support. Top three overall right now in the standings for the season. We got the PR Hammer, the kid, the ball peen, if you will, on top. You got Nate Dog, and then you got I Am Sleeves, whoever that is, moving up to that third.
I love some of those names, man.
Yeah, some great names. And just for grins and giggles, the Hammer's at 20. You got Rugby Now is at 26. Let's see. Rugby Rick.
All the way down at like 68. I missed like the last 4 weeks.
40. And yeah, you're way down at the back.
Yeah, end I missed like the last 4 weeks between the adoption party.
God, and you're doing worse than I am.
Yeah, but I missed 4 weeks in a row.
Oh, well, so you're saying you would be doing better than me.
Yes, I would. I average top third in the league every year.
He's like Kramer. He chooses not to wear the ribbon. He chooses not to play.
Exactly. But let's hit our lock of the week.
The Rugby Rants lock of the week.
Rick.
My lock of the week is Chicago at home against New Orleans. As well as New Orleans has played, I think I've got Chicago by 12. I think they come out, they know that, you know, their season may or may not be on the line here with the second and third spots. And New Orleans having to travel up to Chicago. I think it's a big win for Chicago at home.
Hammer.
Oh boy. I am going with Seattle versus the OGs. Yes, there's some injuries, but Seattle, Clarkie always has the guys ready to play and bounce back. I don't know that they've ever lost 2 weeks on the bounce since he's been at the helm. So I'm going with Seattle. But, hey, Rick, don't sleep on Nola. You remember they had a lot of red cards early on. So they had guys that were on the sideline. They've gotten them back. I think it's going to be a much closer affair on that one.
Cool.
I'm going with the Free Jacks over Miami. I know that's an easy one, but I just don't think Miami has the heft. It is going to be a evening game. Kickoff is at 7, so it should negate maybe some of the weather concerns down in Miami as far as heat and humidity. Or it could be maybe like one of those Houston games we see that start at 6, and all of a sudden by halftime that ball gets humid and wet. But I'm going with Free Jacks over Miami. I'd say minus 15. But guys, I think we've done it. We've almost had an hour here. We've talked a lot. You know, Rick hasn't been on the show in a little bit, not because we haven't wanted him on, but we've been trying to kind of blood some newbies on stuff.
Spread the love. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen,
and if it's been making, you know, been making wedding plans and getting organized there, he's got to,
we decided
his wedding dress sorted out.
We're not going to put him on the show so he could prep for the wedding. But the show before the wedding, we were like, he should come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's the right timing by our scheduler.
Just don't try and catch me the week after the honeymoon.
You are coming on. Get ready. Get ready for Monday. Get ready for Monday. But guys, episode 175 is officially done and dusted. I'm Scott, the Big Guy Ferrara. Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. The Jackal King, Rick Collins. And again, check out Zazzle.com /store/ the Rugby Rant to get those Rugby Rant t-shirts that have the Rugby Rant logo on the front. And let's get Han in the back, baby.
Well, don't forget this weekend, speaking of Nola and the Hounds, it is unofficially the Hammer Cup this weekend. So, you know, chuck that game. I'll be on the sideline.
Just be like a golden hammer or something.
Exactly. A golden ball peen hammer. Anyway, guys, thanks for being on the show. We'll see you at the...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.